a little bit about some of these things, to do something about it. To do something. And again, I'm not a marcher and all of that, but I do believe in making phone calls and writing letters. And I do believe that what Thomas did was the right thing to do. And we need to have some kids in our public schools that will take a stand for what's right. Psalm 23, verse 3. I know I went over it a little bit this morning. I'm just going to quickly go over it again. We never did look at the scripture that I have with this. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Let's pray. Father, thank You that we could be here tonight. Thank You, Lord, again for how You bless us, how You meet our needs, how You take care of us. I'm so grateful and thankful that in verse 1 we can read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We have a personal God. We have a God that loves us. And Lord, I know that You love these little children. When You were here, Lord Jesus, Yourself, You just said, suffer the little children to come unto Me. And so, Lord, I don't know what You have planned for these people that make these awful laws and people that perform these awful abortions, Lord. But I do know that You're a God of judgment and that You will take the necessary steps that You need to rectify all of this. Lord, I pray that You bless the time that we have together here tonight. We do thank You, Brother Virginio. We pray that You'd be with him. We pray, Lord, that You would keep him safe there in China. And other missionaries that could be facing danger tonight, be with them. We pray that souls would be saved in these churches. I think of that police officer, Lord, that was there in his church a couple months ago. We pray for her salvation. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak to her heart and her husband. We pray that he would be a good witness and a good testimony to her. Lord, just bless now the Bible study we have tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So here the third thing I mentioned, if you're keeping notes, it's patience allotted by the shepherd. Patience allotted by the shepherd. And I said this morning that there is a need for our soul to be restored at times. All of us have that need. All of us have to have our soul restored at times. If you sit there and think that your soul never needs to be restored, you've got a spiritual issue that needs to be dealt with. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit think about that whole thing? Because we all need at times to be restored. Just go over a few pages of Psalm 51, and you know what David said after that great sin that he committed with Bathsheba. Psalm 51 is a great psalm that explains this really in detail. You take a look, we don't have time to look at the whole thing, but look at verse 10. Verse 10 and 11 of Psalm 51, 10, 11, and 12. I'm sorry. Psalm 51, 10 through 12. David said this, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That renew and restore is about the same thing. We need to have a restoration. We need to have a renewing at times in our own life. He says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I'm thankful that now, as after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit cannot leave us. Thank God for that. During the Old Testament time, yes, the Holy Spirit could come and go from a person. And David is concerned about that. And we ought to be concerned about our attitude towards God, even when we're doing maybe something sinful or wrong. Then he says in verse 12, what is the first word? Restore. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David needed restoration. We at times need restoration. Psalm 119, verse 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. David, the writer of Psalm 119, I believe, says, hey, there's times that we go astray like a lost sheep. There are times that we get out of God's will. Sometimes we step out of the will of God. Sometimes we're not thinking right, talking right, doing right. And we need that restoration. Again, restore. He restoreth my soul. And then it says, He leadeth me. I was reading, as I said a while ago, John 1 today. If you just zoom over there real quick, I can see if I can find it. As I was reading Luke 1 and John 1, this reminded me as I came across this verse there in verse 43, John 1:43. The Bible says in John 1:43, this is Jesus, of course, there in John, and he's calling some of these disciples. He's already met Simon, Peter, and Andrew. And then he says in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. And then I put these two words in the margin, and saith unto him, what? Follow me. Follow me. Remember, a shepherd leads and the sheep follow. Amen? So when Jesus was saying in John 1 to Philip, follow me, then of course he goes and he finds Nathanael. But the point is that Jesus, from the start of his ministry, was asking different ones to, or commanding them to follow me. And the reason is he is the great shepherd. He is the one that leads. And so when we go back to our text in Psalm 23 where it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Leading. That's what God does. That's what the Lord does. He leads. Look at Psalm 5, the fifth Psalm in verse 8. Psalm 5, verse 8. Psalm 5, verse 8. Psalm 5, 8. What's the first two words? Lead me. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Lead me, O Lord. We're always instructed in the Word of God to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says to follow His steps. Always follow the Lord. Why? Because He's the shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And we are sheep. That's all we are. Remember that. Please, don't get so lifted up in pride you think that you're something that you're not. We are sheep. Sheep always, always follows. And we follow the shepherd. Look at Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Psalm 143, verse 8. 143, 8. Hundred and forty third Psalm, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Lead me. Lord, we as sheep need to say, Lord, please lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's where the Lord wants us to go, as He wants us to follow in the paths of righteousness. Number four, verse four, and number four is the protection accomplished by the shepherd. The protection accomplished by the shepherd. Verse four, Psalm 23, verse four. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff, or thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was this short stick or this club used for protection and correction when needed. And then the staff, of course, was that long stick with that crook for guidance and direction. Sometimes the shepherd had to just use that and kind of pull the sheep off to one side or whatever he had to do. And so we have this thing. It's, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Somebody wrote this and I wrote it down. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God will lead and guide me in the paths of righteousness, even though that path lies through the darkest and most gloomiest veil, through deep and dismal shades, in regions where there is no light, as if death had cast his dark and threatening shadow there. It is still a right path. It is a path of safety. And it will conduct me to a bright regions beyond. In that dark and gloomy veil, though I could not guide myself, I will not be alarmed. I will not be afraid of wandering or of being lost. I will not fear any enemies there, for my shepherd is there to guide me still. You and I have nothing to worry about. I said that this morning. I emphasized that this morning. I emphasized that at Covert this afternoon. There's no need to worry about anything. Nothing. The human lives in the shadow of death. You are not invincible. You are subject to, listen, maybe this is a little gruesome or a little whatever. We are all subject to death. All right? Any one of us at any time could die. Yes? Any one of us, at any time. You don't have to be over 60 to just worry about death. Anybody, at any time. The human lives in the shadow of death. When a person is born, they start down a great canyon of the shadow. That's what they do. I mean, young people have died, old people have died. And so, from birth, we go down this great canyon of the shadow. A Christian never needs to fear that shadow that follows us, because our shepherd is always there with us. We're in the, yea, though I walk through. Look at the wording. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's like the psalm writer, David, is saying, hey, I'm in the valley. It's a shadow of death. There's death around me. I mean, how many times did David himself in his life, he was threatened with death. How many times? I mean, countless times. From the enemy of the Philistines or from Saul, King Saul himself. His own family, his own sons. He had at least one son that was threatened, was trying to get rid of him all the time, Absalom. And so this man was walking around in a shadow of death all the time. And yet he realized there was nothing to worry about. For a Christian, we have nothing to worry about. Even approaching death. We have heard countless stories of people that have cancer, have had cancer, died of cancer, gone into remission, has had the cancer removed miraculously. Brennan's sister is going through a real tough time right now. You really need to pray for Linda. She's in the hospital right now. The tumor is growing and it's getting worse and worse. She's hoping to get to California for these treatments, but only God knows what is going on there. So you need to really pray for Linda. We were told Wednesday night that Barb, what I think of Bonnie, where'd that come from? Barb Bonella is possibly her cancer is back again. I talked to Steve Bonella on the phone yesterday briefly, and he didn't really mention it a lot, but he did say, well, yes, it's possible that it's out of remission and it's back. This can be troubling for the person going through it, but also the family. We just saw Brother Garraway, Warren Garraway, pass away from pancreatic cancer. And we knew a little bit by reading and hearing what they were going through, what the family was going through. I mean, cancer, that's majority of the people on our prayer list for health reasons. The majority of those people have cancer. You probably every one of us in this room knows somebody personally that has cancer. We have known countless people that have passed away from cancer. I've had relatives. My grandmother died of cancer. I've had my two grandmothers died of cancer. I mean, we have it around us a lot. We witness it. We see it. It's an awful, awful thing to see somebody even going through that. But again, we need to be comforted in this verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I know that God is with us. For the Christian, for Barb and for Linda and others on the list and others that you know that are born again children of God, there's really, yes, they don't want to go through this. Nobody would want to go through that. Nobody. I wouldn't want to go through it. You wouldn't want to go through it. But for a Christian, even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. Someone once said that where there is a shadow, there must be a light source. Jesus is the great shepherd, and of course, He is the light source. You can't have a shadow without light. And Christ is the light. No one should be afraid of a shadow. I've heard people say, that guy, he's afraid of his own shadow. Well, we shouldn't have to be afraid of a shadow, right? Somebody said this, the shadow of a dog cannot bite you. But understand that the dog is close by if there's a shadow of the dog there. Also, somebody said the shadow of a sword cannot kill you. The shadow doesn't kill you. And so as we're walking through the shadow of death, we're not to fear any evil. Because again, we have the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd. Number five, Verse 5 is, Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. This is the passion achieved by the shepherd. The passion achieved by the shepherd. A godly person always has an enemy. Right? We have enemy. We have a main enemy, and that is, of course, the devil. Satan is the main enemy. Now, Satan works in the hearts and souls of other people, and I know that no other person is to ever be our enemy, but we do have some other enemies that kind of sometimes can congregate against us, driven by the devil, because he is the arch enemy of God. He is the arch enemy of you and I. But a godly person has this enemy, yet God still provides a feast for the godly. Right? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I like that. When we see that God is preparing a table, what is He doing? He's preparing a feast for us, even in the midst of our enemies. He cares about us. He loves us. He's taken care of us. We've seen that throughout this entire psalm, that God is always taking care of us. He's preparing something for us. Of course, we know that He's preparing a mansion for us tonight. He's preparing us a home in heaven tonight. He is preparing heaven for us. He's preparing the New Jerusalem for us to abide in for all eternity. He's doing so much preparation. But He also prepares a table before us in the presence of mine enemies. God will always, always, always take care of you and I, even in the midst of our enemies. Even though the devil is looking around and seeking whom he may devour, God still says, I want to give you a feast. I want to give you all your needs. I want to take care of all your needs. And God does supply all of our needs. Takes care of everything that we need. Go over to John chapter 10 again. John 10, we were there this morning briefly. We'll go back there. John 10. John 10, verses 9 and 10. John 10, 9 and 10. John 10, 9 and 10. John 10, 9 and 10. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's nourishment, folks. That's a good thing to have. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so this passion that our Lord has for us is only achieved by the shepherd. Then we see, Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. A holy anointing every day of our life is so needed for us as Christians. And that I equate with the filling of the Holy Spirit. You and I need an anointing. I cannot get behind a pulpit. You cannot get up in front of your Sunday school class. We cannot do anything without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without an unction from on high, an unction from on God so we can function. We can't do anything unless the Holy Spirit has given us that power to do it. And so He anoints our head with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that, that according to Ephesians chapter 5, we can have a filling, we can have the power of the Holy Spirit on our life. But it's not there all the time. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go, but the power of the Holy Spirit comes and goes. The presence of the Holy Spirit is always there with us, always. But His power comes and goes. It's like kind of like the gas tank on your vehicle. Now, I don't like to let my gas tank get too low. I like to get to the gas station. I mean, years ago, I'd let it go rest on E, and the light would come on, and the thing would chuck, and, you know, I'd have to pray to get me to the gas station. I don't do that anymore. It gets down there just a little ways, and boom, I'm going to the gas station. I'm filling up, especially that truck out there. I need a little, whatever weight I can keep in the back of that thing when I'm plowing is certainly a blessing. But your vehicle will completely lose power if you run out of gas. Go ahead, try it. Y'all, tonight, just don't ever put gas in your vehicle anymore and see how far you get. If you got a full tank, you know, we have almost a full tank, we'll be able to get, you know, 200-400 miles down the road. But after a while, we're going to run out of gas and it's going to just go off to the side. And yours would do that too. if you allowed it. You have to get to the gas station, you have to fill that thing up. And that's the way we are. We have to get to the gas station of God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with His power so we can have the power just to get through our daily tasks. And then it says the cup. My cup runneth over. I like that. God allows your cup not to just be full. He allows your cup to run over. What does it mean when the cup runs over? It's going to be a blessing to somebody else around the cup. Amen? That's what I think he means. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Ephesians 3:20 says. God is an exceeding abundantly God that can go above and beyond even what we ask or think. That's how our cup is running over today, is because we serve a wonderful, loving, rich God that wants to give you everything that He wants to give you. 1 Timothy 1:14. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Exceeding abundant. Why do you think the Bible puts all those words in there? Just to fill up some pages, fill up some space, to use some ink? No, there's a message behind the exceeding and the abundance. My cup runneth over. Your cup is running over tonight. You realize how your cup is? Oh, my cup is half full. No, it's not half full. Why don't you allow your half empty? That's what I was thinking about. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, that's the attitude of most today. Is my cup is half empty. You know, that's the attitude, the pessimistic attitude today. Is that God doesn't do anything for me. I'm here and He does nothing. I don't know why He does what He does to me. And you know, that's the attitude of so many today. And yet, David was saying that his cup was overflowing, running over, just abundance of the things, the goodness of God. If you would refocus your attention on the Word of God and realize what the Bible says about how this exceeding abundantly, how He's able to give you the things that you need, then you would realize that your cup is running over and not half empty. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Turn over there. I want you to see this. I have all these spelled out, and I could read them quick so we can get done early. But I want you to see 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. When you get there, say amen. It says, "But as it is written," that's a promise from God. "As it is written," it says, "eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Isn't that a great verse? You've not seen it, you've not heard it, it's not even entered into your heart, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Isn't our God a wonderful God? Isn't our God a wonderful God? Muslims don't have a God like we have. Buddhists don't have a God like we have. Hindus don't have a God like we have. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't have a God like we have. The Mormons don't have a God like we have. I mean, we have an amazing God tonight. David's cup was running over. Your cup can be running over if you just get your eyes and mind and heart on the Word of God and realize that God has done so much for you. Stop complaining and grumbling and griping and worrying. Stop it. Look at John. I just read John 10:10, but you probably, as well as me, probably already forgot it. But John 10:10, real quick, I'm going to turn over there. As soon as I get there, I'm going to read it. John 10:10, "The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life." Period. No, it goes on. I tricked you. Some of you are sleeping and some of you are awake. No, it doesn't end there. "And that they might have it more abundantly." Abundantly, more. Is your cup running over tonight? It should be running over tonight. Newsflash, it should be running over tonight. But again, some of you are the half-empty crowd. Some are the half-full crowd. It doesn't have to be half at all. It can be running over. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness. Goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The sixth and final thing is the presence always with the shepherd. Presence always with the shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy. It says shall follow me all the days of my life. It can only happen when you're following the Savior. Right? Because it starts off by the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads me. And so if He's leading you, what is following you? If you're following Christ, something is following you. Right? And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's going to happen because you're following the Lord. And as you follow the Lord, something's going to follow you. I certainly would rather have goodness and mercy following me than cursing and problems all the time. Now, we're going to have problems, don't get me wrong. But we can take those problems and we can say, boy, God, you're still a good God. You're merciful all the time. You're good all the time. God is always a good God all the time, right? All the time. We put it on our t-shirts and we know what it says and we walk around and we say it. We say it, we repeat it in church sometimes. But do we really believe it? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. Presence always with the shepherd. What a promise. What a promise. 2 Timothy 4:18 says this. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was coming down to the last part of his life, and he realized that he was going to be entering very soon into the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John 14, verses 1 through 3, we'll end with this. John 14, 3, 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And there's only one way to get there, and that's in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we have all of these great and wonderful promises in the 23rd Psalm. What a blessed psalm. What a great psalm. It's not just for those. It's not just for funerals, folks. It's for you and I to live by and be blessed by. Let's pray. Father, thank you again that we could be here today. Thank you, Lord, again for the Word of God. You make it so clear and plain of how good you are. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But, Lord, I need to be following you. I need to be following the shepherd as a sheep. That's what my job is just simply to follow you. Lord, you promise in your word, the last verse of that 23rd Psalm.